We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 522. If you guys missed it, I talked to Chad Jennings of The Athletic Boston. He's been on the show to preview the Red Sox like 3 or 4 years in a row. Always a good time to talk to Chad and catch up, talk some baseball, talk some Red Sox, and if the Red Sox are going to be any good this year, because they were hot garbage last year. So definitely.
Is he optimistic or what? Is he trying to shine some shit?
I'm not going to ruin it for the listeners.
Just a little tease. I'm curious as to what the how the air is treating them up there.
In true Athletic or any sort of media outlet fashion, he played it down the middle. He's like, that could be good, that could be bad. I was like, yep, thanks. But no, it was a great conversation. We talked a lot about Cora and his return from the suspension, just like how that team has been overhauled. Because like, think about in your mind the 2018 Red Sox that won all those games, plowed through the playoffs. There's like no one there anymore. It's just completely different roster in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, no, they definitely. I mean, when Mookie Betts leaves the building, then you have
Benintendi's gone, Jackie Bradley Jr.'s gone. You've got David Price gone. Chris Sale is injured. Like, it's just like completely wiped out.
No, that's true. I think, but when Mookie Betts leaves, when you have that decision, like at that point, you're making probably a lot more other moves because you've made that decision that you're not going to win or you're not going to make your best effort to win. So you might as well keep going.
But this episode is not to talk about the Red Sox. That was the previous episode. So go check it out. We're here to talk about the Jay Bruce non-news news because we thought we were going to get an actual move on the 25th.
Speaking of playing it down the middle or punting, depending on how you're looking at this, that's exactly what happened, which is wild.
Like, we were told March 25th, Jay Bruce's opt-out deadline. So we're thinking, okay, he's going to either opt out or opt in, and that's going to give indication on what the Yankees are going to do with their 40-man roster. But the updates on the 25th were Bruce did not show up to his workout, to the Yankees workouts, and the Yankees basically have 48 hours to decide if they want to add him to the 40-man roster or not add him to the 40-man roster and release him.
Yeah.
So to me, this indicates that he has exercised his opt-out, but the Yankees, he will exercise his opt-out unless the Yankees add him to the 40-man roster, which is obvious. And the Yankees are not going to add him to the 40-man roster unless they plan on having him on the 26-man major league roster as a bench player. So this decision is going to happen over the weekend, I guess. I really don't know what could change other than Mike Tauchman or someone just running into a wall and breaking their ankle or something. What's going to change on the baseball field?
I'm like,
bubble wrap. Sit down. Yeah,
you've made the team. I'm not feeling too hot right now. I don't really understand the put. See, I'm actually in the other camps thinking that, okay, they're. Why this 48-hour buffer now? If the decision was going to be made, then just make it. If he does not going to, the Yankees are like holding him by a string, saying maybe we're still thinking about it. Otherwise, then what's the point of this 48-hour? It's not maybe, for injury. I mean, come on, it's not for injury. They're not doing this for the 48-hour injury window. That would be ridiculous.
No, I know. Maybe they have been upfront with him, and because there's reports that the Yankees are shopping Mike Tauchman. So maybe Cashman's plan, and he has told this to Bruce and his agent, we're trying to get something good for Mike Tauchman, but we're not going to just give him away. If we can get something good for Mike Tauchman, that opens up a 40-man roster spot and you will make the team. If we cannot get anything good for Mike Tauchman, he's staying on the team and you're going to be gone. So maybe they're just keeping the window open as long as possible to see if other teams bite. But here's the thing.
Jay Bruce has to agree to that, right? He's got to say,
He doesn't have anywhere to go, though. Jay Bruce has nowhere to go in the next 2 days.
Well, that's the thing. He either has nowhere to go because there's no other interest, or he's agreeing to this gap because he wants to be on the Yankees. And this gives another 48 hours to figure out the situation.
He wants to be on a major league roster. He doesn't probably, I mean, obviously he wants to be on the Yankees because they're a good team and stuff. But if it's the Seattle Mariners or if it's the Texas Rangers, like, he'll just play for them because he wants to play baseball.
But that's my point. Majors. That's my point. If there was another thing out there right now, he wouldn't be doing this 48-hour nonsense. This is part of his decision to say, okay, I'll wait a couple more. Like I'll exercise this little weird wrinkle in the rule and wait 48 hours by not showing up to the field. So it's something else is happening behind the scenes that we either are speculating about, which I think you're right. I think that they are looking around still and identifying what cash we could still get for Talkman and putting pressure on people saying like, this is it. Now there's a clock. Can't you either want him or you don't.
For the Yankees.
No, because it depends. It depends. It could be bad. It could be good for, it could be good for the Yankees because if someone does want Talkman or there's multiple teams that want Talkman, at least now there's a decision time. So you either put up or shut up. And then Cashman has, you know, everything in front of him to make that decision.
Well, the reports for the trade interest in Mike Talkman is that there's teams interested, but the Yankees really value him. And the value they're placing on Talkman is a lot higher than teams are willing to pay.
I got to tell you, I'm completely flip-flopping. I'm completely turning.
You've just flip-flopped like in this moment?
Before we started recording, I made the decision early this morning. I think that I do not want Jay Bruce on the team anymore. And I would rather have Mike Talkman.
Walk me through the process.
I'll walk you through the process. It's just an upside thing. I think that Talkman has looked better physically and that maybe he was bothered by this injury last year and they identified him as they've identified other, you know, diamonds in the rough. And I believe in what they look at with some of these players. And I think Talkman does give them a hell of a lot more flexibility in the outfield. He's a much better defensive outfielder. And Bruce just didn't look good in the infield either. So I don't like him as an option for first base. If that's I just don't see him as much of an option. And the way that their bats are right now, just watching them both take at bats and swing during spring, not looking as much at the results, but I don't think you're losing much with Talkman, to be honest. If not, you're gaining. So I don't think I honestly don't think it's much to do about anything. Take the younger player, take the more upside, take the guy that actually can play a position well. I think that's what they're going
to
do.
I guess the only counter argument to that is, well, what the hell are you doing carrying five, maybe six outfielders if Giancarlo is going to actually play in the outfield? That just seems like a waste of space. Like we know injuries can come, but okay, you've got the three starters, Judge, Hicks, Frazier, and then you've got Gardner as the fourth option, Talkman as the fifth option, and then Stanton, if need be, can play the outfield. It's just like kind of overkill.
Yeah. I don't think that they're going to get, if Jay Bruce is on this team, I mean, it is going to be tough for him to see at bats. Luke Voit's the everyday first baseman. He's not coming out for, you know, tough righties. He's going to be in there. I mean, maybe once a week, if that, but probably not even that much. I think you're going to see a lot of him. And I think Jay Bruce over there, one, is more of a liability than even Luke Voit at first base. And, you know, I just think that at that point, you might as well go, like we said, give Talkman a first base glove. Let's see what happens.
Could it be worse? It's how much worse is it than Jay Bruce? Like, probably not much worse.
Probably
so
not
fine.
Worse. Yeah. Probably not that much worse.
I mean, I'm with you. I mean, the idea of Jay Bruce, a big left-handed bat at Yankee Stadium that can hit right-handed, good right-handed pitching, who can play first base in the outfield. Like, the idea of that is beautiful for a roster. But then you see it and you're like, well, this isn't working. Like he didn't have a good spring. In 31 at bats, he's hitting 194 with a 662 OPS. Spring training stats don't matter for guys like Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and DJ LeMahieu. Spring training stats though do matter when you're fighting for the last spot on the bench. Like you have to eventually look at numbers and say, how is this guy performing versus this guy? And Talkman in 26 at bats is hitting 269, nice, with a 960 OPS. So Talkman has...
I mean, the OPS is so much better. The when you look at these players too, and you identify, like the value for me for Bruce was later in the season, having that guy who can come in against a tough right-handed pitcher. You know, I'm looking for that guy in the playoffs. And I'm that's the other part of me flipping. Like, I don't want to... Having Jay Bruce on the roster all year to get to that point is just not worth it.
But here's the thing. Jay Bruce could be available.
And he could be available. You're right.
Like, or another version of Jay Bruce. Yeah. Like, you're telling me it's not far-fetched to think Jay Bruce gets picked up in mid-April by whoever, the Texas Rangers, and then they release him in July, and he's out there again for the Yankees to claim off waiver. It's like, there's not... that's not that out of the realm of possibility. Like,
it's not. Or, and I think I was like that. I think when I first was looking at this, I got a little starry eyed seeing like a younger Jay Bruce in my mind, and how that production could help in the playoffs. Jay Bruce. It was more of the hopium that was hitting me. And I was like, oh man, like I want that bat in the playoffs. And that one, that's a long ways away first. And second, who knows what the hell he is then, if he even makes it that far. And it's, if you're losing a player like Tauchman because of that, maybe potentially, and then you got to like shuffle this guy around who really doesn't have a position all year long, that's going to be annoying to watch. I'd rather have Tauchman.
Yeah. And the other spot's probably going to go to Tyler Wade because of his infield versatility, because we did the exercise where I was asking you, okay, what happens if Gleyber Torres comes out of the game? How do you construct the infield? And you can't unless you have another.
Yeah, the musical chairs, the music stopped and there was still a position open.
Right. So you need Tyler Wade. And if it's not Tyler Wade, you need Estrada, or you need someone who can play middle infield, because you can't have nobody. So that Tyler Wade lives to see another day. He's a cat. He's got 9 lives. He's on number 7 at this point. So he's got 2 more after this, I think.
Are you surprised that Estrada didn't get a longer look? And instead of Dietrich, because of the flexibility, like he can play more positions.
Estrada can't juggle.
Can't juggle. That's the reason.
Do you have no clue what I'm talking about?
I mean, I assume you mean juggling, because Dietrich can.
Yeah. Okay. You looked at me like, what are you talking about? Like,
I just wasn't expecting you to say that.
Remember like in the second week of spring training, like the big news was Derek Dietrich juggling. It's like, oh great, here, this is where we are in spring training now.
Yeah. I don't understand why he's been on the, like, you just release him and end that, because it's not happening. Why are we doing that? If he becomes the guy, it doesn't make any sense. He's not going anywhere.
He's going to be in AAA. He's going to be at alternate site. Like, no one's going to pick him up.
Right. So, okay. But then accept it and go down and get out of my face and give me a longer look at somebody else that might have the potential to play different positions.
Yeah, maybe. Fine. I don't know. Whether it's Estrada or Wade, like, who cares?
Apparently a lot of people do. Everybody's very butthurt about Tyler Wade still.
Because this is the only thing that we as Yankees fans have to talk about. Other than injuries, it's like, who's going to make the last spot on the bench? That's why it's a big deal. Like, okay. That and then the fifth starter spot, which is going to be Domingo Herman. Debbie Garcia had a rough outing against the Blue Jays the other day. I don't know when he's going to get his first start. He will get it at some point in April. He'll get a start. I know he will. But it's just probably not going to be the first turn through the rotation. So they're going to go with 5. We talked about on the last 2 episodes ago, the 6-man or 5-man hybrid or how you're going to do it. So I just think,
Corey Kluber's going to be in the 5-man. Aaron Boone definitely confirmed that he will be in the rotation.
Yeah. So what they're gonna do, I think, is keep guys that need to be on regular 5-day rest on regular 5-day rest, and then they're going to manage everyone else. So it's going to be a 5-man rotation, but with like 6 or 7 pitchers.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah, they're going to cycle out that other guy. That's kind of what we were talking about when you're saying Gerrit Cole and then a 5-man rotation after that, because that is kind of what's happening. It just depends on who's in that 5-man rotation on the given week. Yeah. Some guy may get the nod, be like, you know what, this week you hang out.
And there's, I guess, some good news on injury front. Justin Wilson, who left the game on Monday night, we thought his shoulder was just completely shredded. According to Boone, quote, nothing actionable from Wilson's MRI. He said he doesn't know if he could be ready for opening day.
Which means he won't be ready for opening day.
He won't be ready for opening day, but it seems like the Yankees dodged a bullet.
Maybe. I mean, they got to work him back up now, right? So they got to, you know, whatever the nothing actionable. I don't know if that includes like a cortisone shot or something along those lines that
no, that would helps. Be actionable, I think.
Is that actionable? Is that like considered? I guess so. Then you just wait it out and just wait till the soreness goes away and then start throwing again, ramp up and see what happens.
Yeah. Like if you tell me he starts to ramp back up on April 10th and my arm hurts, then like, okay, fine. Like then there's probably going to be a problem. But
I mean, when you're dealing with a shoulder like this and you're saying that there's nothing actionable, I mean, it seems like that's probably a month for a pitcher. No?
Are you a little angry at all that they
I'm not angry.
Are you
In general, second I'm not guessing. Angry.
Are you second guessing at all? They just salary dumped Adam Ottavino. Like, I know Adam Ottavino had his issues.
I'm not.
But Adam Ottavino is a better relief pitcher still than some of the guys that we're going to have to see in the first month of the season.
Darren O'Day?
Justin Wilson. No, not Darren O'Day, but Luis Sessa, Loaizica.
What? Why are you saying that
because
he's better
Adam
than...
Ottavino, because he is better, Scott. I know he had a bad three games last year, but he's better than those guys.
Well, he had a much, much longer run of being bad because the year before, he was terrible at the end of the year and terrible in the playoffs.
He was not terrible at the end of the year. I actually looked more into the stats. He was only bad in the playoffs, which that's a big thing, but... He was not terrible in 2019.
No, at the end of the year, it was like the last 2 weeks, there were a lot of walks happening. I remember my patient being very thin with that man. And yeah. I don't want to see it. I would much rather have a Toolsy Luis Sessa in there and upside Johnny Loaizaga over Ottavino. I don't, and Darren O'Day is a better option. So,
yeah, I'm just think Darren O'Day, I think Darren O'Day could have been signed if you kept Adam Ottavino. That's the thing. That's all I'm saying.
There were things that happened right after that seemed that they were connected, and that was one of them. So no, I think that we're going to hit Ottavino and then you will change your tune very, very fast, or we won't hit him because he won't touch the strike zone, which is probably the more likely situation.
He could be the Red Sox closer.
Great. When is that going to happen?
So there I was Wednesday morning, or maybe it was Thursday morning. I can't remember. Time is a flat circle at this point with a newborn. But more on that in out of left field. But so I read an article about Freddie Freeman. I'm a huge Freddie Freeman guy. Like I'm not like a fan of too many like random players, but like Freddie Freeman to me is a first baseman, left-handed DJ LeMahieu, but actually better than DJ LeMahieu. Like Freddie Freeman, best first baseman in baseball, MVP last year. He's a phenomenal player. He's entering the last year of his contract with the Braves. He makes $22 million this year. In the article, there was a Q&A with Freddie. He has not been approached by the Braves for a contract extension. He will be 32 years old in September, so he's slightly on the older side. I really don't see the Braves giving him his market value. I know he's the face of their franchise and their. And I think he wants to stay in Atlanta. So like all
and they
that
have a,
being
they
said,
have a good young team. They have a good young
right.
team.
So signing him makes sense. But if he's going to warrant like a 5 or 6 year contract at $25 million plus, I just don't see the Braves doing that. So it kind of got me dreaming. Is there a situation where the Yankees could acquire Freddie Freeman from the Braves for Luke Voit in a package of prospects?
To be clear, this is very, very much out of left field. This is a random situation.
Oh, this is completely made up in my head. I was reading this article at like 6:30 in the morning as I was drinking coffee. I believe it was Thursday morning. There is no reports of this on the internet.
Which roast were you drinking?
I was drinking the after dinner. Thank you very much for asking. After dinner, even though it was before breakfast, it's my favorite blend. It's a dark roast, low acid. It's great.
I'll have to try that one. As you know, I've tried the medley of the Roastmaster Rick's blends. I like them all. And you should get some coffee at your dad's roaster. Give the people
RichardAllenCoffee.com. Go check it out. The best coffee in the world. So many people have ordered it, and thank you very much for ordering. But so the Freddie Freeman thing, I was just thinking like, If the Braves are honest with themselves and they're not going to give him a big free agent contract, it's also a terrible time for him to be a free agent. The 2021-22 offseason is not going to be pretty. I don't know. Like,
you're looking at a trade deadline because there would have to be situations that happen, obviously. The NL East is a tough division. The Braves would most likely have to be theoretically out of the running there, out of the wild card potentially, because anything could happen. In the playoffs, they have the ability to win. I think they have a good team. So there would have to be a really bad start, a really bad first half for the Atlanta Braves for that to even be contemplated. Because you can't move your star player in the middle of a season when you're in the running.
But
so they're kind of running out of time.
No, you're right. But at the same time, they would be acquiring Luke Voit, who's also a top producing first baseman who's under team control for a long time. So they could just look at it honestly and say, yes, we still want to win this year, but we're not going to re-sign Freddie Freeman. So let's lock up first base for the next four seasons at a cheap price in exchange for Freddie Freeman, who's going to walk all in the offseason.
All right, let me ask you a dumb question then.
It's not going to happen, but like, yeah. I'm just dreaming because Freddie Freeman in this Yankees lineup.
Why are you so obsessed with Freddie Freeman?
Go look at his numbers. He's the left-handed DJ LeMahieu who plays first base. He makes a ton of contact. He hits for power. He doesn't strike out. He hit 340 last year. He's a left-handed bat. He's a gold glove caliber first baseman. He's a fucking awesome player. And he would fit so well in this Yankees lineup. I don't have to look at Aaron Hicks batting third anymore. I could look at Freddie Freeman batting third.
Do you think that the Yankees would want to take that contract for, you know, or obviously they would make this trade to sign him with an extension, right? So therefore they're now paying a 5-6 year contract, which is going to be probably the biggest in baseball for a first baseman, I'd say close to it, if not, right? That's what he'd be looking for.
I kind of look at the Paul Goldschmidt. I'm going to pull up Paul Goldschmidt's contract.
But so you're looking at that versus a productive Luke Voit who led baseball in home runs and under team control for 4 years. He's a weird older arbitration case where he's controlled longer in his career just because of the way that he came up and how his development stacked up. So
Paul Goldschmidt signed a 5-year, $130 million contract with the Braves.
Okay. I just don't, when you're looking at what the Yankees are seeing at value and understanding that there's a lot of contracts coming up and they're going to have to deal with, make some other tough decisions. Maybe that makes it easier to walk away from some guys if you have a Freddie Freeman locked up. But I think it gives them a lot less flexibility, clearly, because Voit is under control. They have a productive first baseman. So I don't think they're doing it that way.
Yeah, I mean, but then the other side of that is Freddie Freeman's better. Yeah. Freddie Freeman and you're trying to win a World Series this year, next year, and the year after that. Yes, Luke Voit can help you do that, but Freddie Freeman will help you do that more.
I think the big question is the value between the two? Is the delta between the two enough to make a trade like that, overpay, and then put yourself in a position where you might not be able to make a contract offer to a Aaron Judge or Gleyber Torres, or you're looking around and you're trying to lock up some guys, or potentially if Gary Sanchez has a big year and you decide that you're keeping him, Gary Sanchez?
Yeah, I mean, possibly. But
that's the risk.
I mean, it's just like these sorts of things. I'm just trying to figure out like ways that the Yankees
can get a contact hitter that's from the left side. We're really going down an avenue to find this left-handed bat really hard. It's not even so much left-handed bat, but it's a left-handed bat that actually fits that spot. Yeah. Not just a lefty guy, not just a lefty for Boone's sake, but a lefty that actually does fit within the numbers and within the lineup configuration. And that's, I mean, Michael Brantley, and which was a free agent, could have had him.
If they had dumped, I guess then Clint Frazier wouldn't be the starting left fielder. But yeah, I don't know. I know this isn't going to happen. This is one of those like sports radio callers calling up with a stupid like trade proposal. But I do think there's something in it for the Braves if they are not going to sign Freddie Freeman to trade him.
They would have to have a dog shit first half. That's the only way that would be even contemplated, I think. And even then, isn't he like
he's the face of the franchise. Like he's
no, but he what's the beloved. What's like the good guy award in baseball? The Walter Payton Award for baseball? Isn't he that
is
too?
Roberto Alomar, or Clemente? Yeah, not Roberto Alomar. He's spit in an umpire's face. No, not Roberto Alomar. Very different Roberto.
Isn't he the Roberto Clemente award winner also in the National League?
Probably. I don't know.
Like he's an all around good dude. Great baseball player, probably a good dad.
He's very personable. Like him, him and his wife do like a ton of charity.
I gotta think this would be an unpopular move
in Atlanta. Oh, it definitely would,
especially to the Yankees.
Give a shit about Atlanta fans, though. I want Freddie Freeman on the Yankees. I want Freddie Freeman in pinstripes.
And as a Yankees fan, of course, you are entitled to that. You should have every single best player in baseball in every single position.
Like I'm just saying, oh, the Yankees are going to acquire Freddie Freeman for a bag of balls. Like they're going to give him.
Kind of is.
No, it's not, because Luke Voit is a very productive first baseman who's locked up cheap, and you would be giving up a couple of other decent prospects for him.
They would have to be good prospects, and you'd be it would be
not
a half
that,
year without a
not
contract.
Not that good. It would be like I was looking at like Luis Medina as like he's like the number 6 or 7 pitcher.
Here's the problem with what you're saying. I think that they would get better offers on the market if you were up, unless you're giving up a much bigger prospect.
They would get better offers as far as prospects go, but what they're not going to get is Luke Voit, who is offensively. He's the different kind of producer than Freddie Freeman, but offensively, he's right up there since 2018 for production and first base. So the Braves can look at it and say, we're not really losing first base production. We're just getting different first base production, and we're getting it for the next 3 years of cheap money.
And that's exactly why the Yankees will look at that and say, well, no.
Well, the Yankees,
for that exact reason.
I mean, the Yankees would be stupid to not want to acquire Freddie Freeman.
Well, for that reason, they won't. It's controlled. Anyway, can you tell us about this picture where you're you look like you're vaping or you're I don't know what's going on here. Not vaping in a different way.
Like, yeah, we're gonna get to
the steam coming up with a towel over your head.
You're talking about out of left field. We're bringing it back.
On that out, as Sanchez destroys that to left field.
There it goes, deep to left. Really.
Track at the wall, we are tied.
I pissed on a public building.
Yeah.
So last weekend, it was the first time Leanne and I took Harrison out of the house when it wasn't to the pediatrician. Okay. So there's a picture here. We took him to.
So it was to a brewery.
we took him to a brewery.
Okay. So Not the pediatrician, so we went to a brewery. Got it.
Yeah. We were just like dying to get out of the house. We have friends who we were trying to find a midpoint because they wanted to see the baby, but we don't want to go inside and we just want to make it COVID safe. So we need to find a place outside. It was in Hackensack Brewing. The beer was good. We're in a parking lot. Like, it wasn't ideal. There was like a lot of stuff going on. It was also like a pretty warm day. I'm going to tweet this picture out from at Yankees Podcast so you can see. I found myself trying to console him. We had like this blanket and I just like covered him and myself in this blanket. And I was just like feeding him a bottle and like talking to him. And the friends of ours, my friend Mark, who was actually best man at my wedding, took this picture and then like showed it to me after. And then it hit me. I'm like, damn, my life has changed. Because like I didn't even think twice about doing this. Like, people around me were probably looking at me like, what the hell is that guy doing? Like, he's just like, is he snorting cocaine under there? Like, no, he's feeding a baby a bottle. So like, I don't even know what the point of this is or what my question is, but like, did you also have a moment with Kemp where you're just like, you're just going to do things on instinct and you don't even think about like what people around you are thinking or what it looks like or how it's going to be received? Like, you're just doing this because the only thing in your mind is make sure your son is comfortable. And like, that's what I was doing. I was like blocking the sun from him. I was like, I'm sweating. Just, I don't want him to sweat. So just like, it's a whole ordeal.
Yeah.
That was my outing last Saturday.
It definitely looks like you're the guy that tried to get a little hair of the dog, was struggling walking into this place. You have half of a beer in this glass and you're done at this point. You're done and you're everybody else wanted to come to the brewery. So you're just there now as a fixture because everybody else wanted to hang out and it doesn't matter. They got you there finally and you're there and they just threw a towel over your head and you're just knocked out. That's what it looks like. Yes. I don't know like an exact, I don't have a situation, but yeah, I don't care what people think anymore. That's what happens when you, there's two situations in my life where I really stopped caring what people thought. One, after I got married. Okay, I don't need to impress any girls anymore. Like, that's done, right? I just got to make sure my wife's happy. I got to do things for her. So nothing matters there. Like, I got her. She said yes. Locked it up. Done. And the second one, tricked her. And the other one was when we had a kid. So now I'm like, don't care about that. Don't care about anything else.
Don't care
now
about my wife anymore.
I got a wife. I have a kid who I have to keep alive. And we have to like make sure that, you know, we have to feed him and do all the things that because it's our responsibility now. Mm-hmm. So all of that stuff went out the window. Like what people think of you, what you're doing, what it looks like. I just don't care anymore. And I think that maybe the third thing is just you're getting another year older every single year. And the more that happens, the less you care about what other people think as well. And yeah, so that there's a trifecta of not giving a shit. And I think the kid kind of locks a lot of that in. So it doesn't surprise me at all. Like not at all. And I think most parents feel the same way.
Yeah. And the thing about it, like we were just so happy to get out of the house and like see friends and like talk for a couple hours. But like, it was so not worth it because that night he didn't sleep at all. And it was just a hellish night. So I'm like, were those 3 hours at the brewery where I had 1.5 beers and talked to some friends, was that worth not sleeping for a night? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, if it was only one night, maybe if it trickled into the other days, then probably not. Yeah. But it does screw up the schedules. You got to do it though. You got to force the hand. You got to go out there.
Yeah. I mean, at a certain point, you can't just look at the same four walls anymore.
No,
it's
getting pretty old.
Yeah. Been a freaking year of this. All right. That's going to do it for this episode. Maybe we'll get some unexpected news from the Bruce and Talkman stuff as we said over the weekend. Scott and I will continue to roll out the AL East previews. Opening day is next week, less than a week away. We got our bold predictions episode coming up. Start thinking about those. I kicked your ass last year. You kicked my ass the year before. We're tied 1-1. So like, I feel like this is a three-game series.
No. You don't get a full win from last year. Remember, last year doesn't count.
I got, so what was it, 37%? I got 37% of a win.
I'm up 1-0.
Yeah, but you took a big L on predicting Mike Ford over Luke Foy.
No, it didn't
count. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we're gonna be back at you next week.
That was a big L. That was a big L.
Yeah. We'll be back at you next week with the rest of the AL East previews and our bold predictions episode. And then after the season starts, we're gonna get into our normal routine. And we got some fun content for you this season.
Which will be a different routine. Not the normal routine. The normal routine is a different routine. Which will be a fun routine.
Do you want to talk about it now or do you want to talk about it when we actually start the new routine?
We'll talk about it later. I think we teased it last episodes, but yeah, it's going to be more content, more consistent content, more good conversations, a little bit more in depth. So excited for some new formatting things that we're going to be rolling out. It's going to be fun.
All right. Talk to you guys next week.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.